Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 212 for February 4th, 2019. You have not had a chance to take a look at the report yet. You should be seeing it on screen while I'm talking. That's number 280. You can also go to timingresearch.com/reports to get access to either the web or PDF version. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 Central Time, but you can also listen to audio-only podcast version of all episodes on Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe there. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Research, and I have Bob Hanna back to moderate today, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Hi, David. Thanks. Nice to be back here again, and we got a good couple of panelists here with me that I'm going to get to interview today. Glenn Thompson of Pacific Trading Academy, .com and Simon Klein of TradeSmart Forex. I'll just introduce myself first and then I'll let you guys go. Again, I'm Rob Hanna, Quantifiable Edges. I've been trading since the mid to late 90s. Been a full-time profession for me since 2001. In the early 2000s, I wrote for TradingMarkets.com for a few years, and then I started Quantifiable Edges in 2008. I had a site called Overnight Edges for a while, which became part of InvestiQuant. I've recently gone back and now I'm just doing Quantifiable Edges as my primary focus. So lots of new and exciting research going to be coming out there in the next few years. My focus is primarily swing trading using quantitative analysis, which is basically using numbers to measure what certain patterns or setups have done in the past. Let me get to the panelists. I'll go from top down on my sheet here. So that's Glenn, you're first. If you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, about PacificTradingAcademy.com and how you trade, what you trade.
Sure. Thank you for the introduction, Rob, and happy to be here again, guys. Let's see. It's been so long. I've been trading, I guess, now. I guess I got started about 38 years ago by accident. I was kind of heading in a different career trajectory and through a series of events, gravitated to the markets and primarily self-taught. Started on using a fundamental approach about a year into that and kind of creating a foundation of just general understanding. Saw the virtues of combining the fundamental approach with the chart approach, which is what I do pretty much 80% to 90% right now. That's what forms the basis of the projections that I generate personally. Fast forward to the present for the last 15 or 16 years now. When I moved out to the West Coast, I started teaching, and I primarily teach technical analysis to all types of investors and traders, beginners, experts, everything in between. Again, in my own trading and my own accounts, I'm primarily relying on a chart approach. But I think in the best of worlds, what I like to do, and I feel most confident have the greatest reliability in the projections I generate when I see alignments between what the charts are telling me and the news, the fundamentals. You don't always get it, but that's the ideal gold standard, so to speak, that I'm looking for. But what I do now is, again, primarily focus on the technical aspects in terms of teaching. Over the years, I've worked with a number of firms. I started, ironically, on the sales side. I got licensed with the 7-3, the various and options, and 63, etc. But shortly into that process, I realized I didn't like the sales. It was okay, but my passion was in actually direct contact with the markets and trading. So I kind of brought myself up my own learning curve, and over the years, focused, as I said, on the technical approach. And the teaching that I do kind of is a good fit with that. So that's, yeah, that's a quick, I hope, synopsis of what I've done. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Sure. With regards to what you trade, is it mostly stocks, ETFs, commodities, a mix of everything?
Yeah, I forgot to kind of precisely mention. I started, ironically, at Merrill, and I was a licensed a broker, and I was trading stocks. Again, going back 30-some years, what I found when I'd pick stocks, I'd buy them and they would just sit there. I think I had the perspective of you as more or less a swing trader holding positions for a few days to a few weeks. But again, with the context of the environment on average back then, the volatility typically was not, it was difficult to make a living. And so I just found I'd buy stocks and they would just sit there more or less on average. So when I gained a greater awareness of derivatives, I also got licensed on the commodity side. I found that the average volatility tended to be greater. Again, this is the markets back 30, almost 40 years ago. So I began to more and more transition to trading futures. The fact that I was focused on using a technical approach allowed a translation from one sector to another more readily than if I were a fundamental trader, but that's pretty much what I've done. But over the years, I've traded all instruments, but I think what you do for convenience is you focus in on a few a smaller universe for convenience and if you're making money. But right now, 80% of my personal trading is focused on the E-mini S&P and Forex, the major pairs, and I do some crosses, the Euro crosses, etc. But primarily intraday, day trading, S&P. I also have longer positions based on my timing work, but primarily I'd say 80% is on the S&P and then some of the Forex pairs in my own trading.
Yep. All right, great. Interesting. Simon, what about you? Could you tell us, tell the people a little bit about yourself and about Trade Smart Forex?
Hi, Rob. It's great to be back here again. Can you hear me okay? Can you see the screen?
No. Well, I can hear you, but it's echoing.
That may be because someone else has a mic on, maybe. Is that okay now?
Still hear the echo.
Okay, let's try that. No, we're still getting an echo.
Go ahead.
Okay, we'll try. I think it's gone.
Yes.
Okay, so Rob, great to be back here, and David. I started out from kind of when I graduated university, I was headhunted by Credit Suisse in London and started working for them more on the computer side of things, but sitting on in the business. We were a tactical application development team. And then I was headhunted again to work on the trading floor while I was in London. So I moved over to the trading floor. And then eventually I moved over to New York as well. So I started equity trading in 2005. And primarily now I focus on, just because it's the best time of day for me, on Forex trading. So I look at the main Forex pairs and I look at the S&P, minis, gold, oil, mostly the futures. But I'm primarily trading nowadays the Forex, even though I started out as an equity trader. I started TradeSmart from the website tradesmartforex.com a number of years ago and with the view to helping traders through the development curve. And I believe that the first thing that you need to do in order to learn how to trade is to read the market, especially even if you're a fundamental trader, it's, you know, to be able to get in and manage risk and understand what the charts are telling you. So at the beginning, I was taught the specialist way and looking at the time and sales and the prints going off and the open book and understanding what the specialist was doing and then following. The specialist is like the ultimate day trader in the New York Stock Exchange. But when the New York Stock Exchange went hybrid, part computer, part human, the system that I was originally taught how to trade didn't work anymore. So it was like back to the drawing board. So the way I trade nowadays is primarily based on supply and demand, understanding the trend, pivot analysis, and price direction analysis on multiple time frames. By doing that, I come up with high probability scenarios where I know what's going on, where everything's lined up, and then you use a strategy in order to enter the trade and manage your risk. And that's what primarily I teach people. So I teach people the kind of big picture of how to read a market. And within there, because I found that just teaching someone a strategy is a bit limiting, especially if the strategy doesn't fit their personality or lifestyle. So if you teach them the general, it's like teaching someone music as opposed to just teaching them to play classical music. You know, they may not be a good fit for them, classical music. But if you teach them the fundamentals of music, then they can play any genre of music, whatever fits them. So it's the same thing with reading the market. If you can understand how to read the market, you can develop your own strategies once you have that basis. So that's primarily what we do at TradeSmart and TradeSmartForex.com is teach people how to read the market professionally based on supply and demand, price direction, pivot analysis on multiple timeframes. But that's not all. We also take it a step further and teach people how to run a trading business. Just because you know how to read the market doesn't mean you know how to trade professionally. What you need to do is understand the framework that you need to have in place and the step-by-step process you need to go through on a day-by-day, week-by-week, month-by-month, year-by-year, in order to track yourself as a trader and understand what's working for you and what's not as you're going through the development process, which unfortunately many people drop out of due to sheer frustration because they're not getting the results that they want. They want things to happen quicker and they don't know exactly what to do step-by-step. So that addresses that issue and teaches people a framework and a process in which they can develop themselves safely as a trader. So that's primarily what we're focused on. We have a live trading room as well where we trade live every day. And we have a weekly preparation session on Sunday where we go through all the markets that we trade and prepare ahead of time so we know where the levels are in the market and when the markets are likely to turn. And then it's just about implementing that during the week in our live trading room. So that's primarily what we're focused on.
All right, great. Thanks, Simon. Thanks for the intro. Let's go through and start with question one, which is what direction do you think the S&P is going to be moving this coming week from Monday's open, today's open, until the close on Friday? Really, I just want a one-word answer here, and then I will come back and let you guys explain as much as you want why you're thinking what you're thinking. But for now, let's just try and see where everybody is to determine whether we're going to be all on the same side or arguing. Hopefully, we're on different sides here a little bit. So, Simon, bullish or bearish, up or down for this week, do you think?
I would say I'm more kind of neutral at the moment.
Oh,
but
boo!
If I were to swing on one side, I would say bullish.
Okay. All right. Glenn. Oh, Glenn, you there? Bullish or bearish that we're looking for?
You got to switch your mic on.
You need to unmute yourself. There's a menu in the top center.
All right. Well, Glenn finds that. I'm going to give my answer. I'm looking down this week, so we'll have some argument, at least between me and Simon. Now, Glenn, you're up.
Glenn, you just muted yourself again. Now you're unmuted. Glenn, you there?
Hear me now.
Yes.
Yes, Glenn. Yes, we can hear you. Well, now, yeah. Glenn, are you there?
Can you guys hear
me? Oh, yeah, no. We can hear you for a second, and then you cut out.
You're teasing us, Glenn.
All right, Rob, go ahead.
Okay.
Can all you right. guys hear me now? Hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm bullish for the week, guys.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. All right. So let's let me start with you since we got your mic working right now.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. It was showing unmuted, but okay. So as long as we're working. Yeah. Curious if we, I was thinking about this from the end of last week, at which point I was bearish, but over the weekend and given today's price action, I've changed my view. And here's the reason. Today, well, I actually had two cycles come in on Saturday, February 2nd, and the market's not open. So the cycles indicate, or I infer and register the cycles to mean a point of rendezvous between price and time, mm-hmm. where change is more probable. So the way I interpret that is to ask myself the question, what is the trend? What's the overall trajectory of a price as it arrives at that, what I interpret to be a critical time point for change? Well, at the end of last week, we broke out of a triangle that began January 18. The triangle correlates with continuation. I wasn't surprised to see the breakout breaking in the direction of trend that preceded the January 18 top in the S&P. So for that reason, I was expecting the most probable type of change would be a 180-degree shift. But if you look at the price action, say, from Thursday of last week through right now, it's another consolidation. Also, the nature, so that suggests a further continuation, a furtherance or persistence of the type of motion we've been seeing basically since the December 26 bottom. So for that reason, primarily, I think we're at a critical point of change. But it's a type of change that would mean something other than the outright direction. Maybe the velocity will shift. There will be an acceleration or deceleration. So as manifested on a two-dimensional surface like our charts, it will be a steeper or more shallow slope. But overall, the general direction I anticipate and project at least till my next time point, which happens to, well, I've got a lesser important one coming in on February 20, a more critical one, March 1st. If you ask me right now, I think March 1st will be, for other factors I'm considering, a negative, meaning I think it will more likely form as a pivotal top in stock prices in the U.S. But right now, I think the change that the market is going to acquire in its character and its componentry will be one of a persistent continuation of what we've seen since that critical bottom December 26. But some aspect of it will adjust, maybe the velocity, for example. But qualitatively, I'm expecting more or less persistent movement and price support.
So between, Glenn, I don't do a whole lot with cycle work myself, but in talking to others that do, mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but some people I know interpret cycle ends or cycle points, as you're describing them, as times where you either get a reversal or it could be, like you're saying, a change of velocity, an acceleration in the same direction. Is that another way to, is that right? Is that what you're saying as well?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying what I learned some time ago after starting working on cyclical analysis is that it would be too facile, too easy to assume when a market reaches a cycle, the end of its term or period, that immediately, by definition, it's always going to have an outright directional change or flip of top or bottom manifested on a chart. that sometimes certainly occurs. So I've done research over the years. What I find is if there are three types of trend, obviously, in a general direction, up, down, or sideways for any amount of elapsed time that can occur. What I found for this, and it's specific, well, market specific, but in particular to the US indices, the equity markets, when a market trend is sideways at the point of arrival, when it touches, when price meets time, and it does so horizontally, going in a consolidation, 73% of the time for the S&P, the type of change that results is one of continuation, not an outright reversal where it goes from up to down or down to up. That's not absolute. It's not, but I'm playing the odds, and you've got a bias of probability there where, again, 73% of the time. So what I'm looking at from Friday's trade to, through what we've seen so far, and today's action is not complete, but more or less I'm seeing another little kind of fractal, a mini continuation, where the market was more or less trading in a restricted range for a short period of time from Friday's trade through today. But if I examine that, the character of it, if I differentiate it, it's not up, it's not down, it's more or less restricted or horizontal. That tends to strongly correlate, especially it correlates by itself as a continuation pattern, but all the more so, it's strengthened given the window of time, the fact that it comes in on, my actual time point was Saturday, February 2nd. So the first time the market can trade and move is today. So
right.
I interpret that to mean that it's, again, 73% of the time when I see that type of price action horizontal coming in at a critical time point, or what I projected and derived to be such, it tends to manifest when it breaks, it does so in the direction that it was trending prior to the period of consolidation, which in this case was up. And that's why I'm bullish right now.
Okay. And so you're measuring horizontal over the last few days, like you were saying.
Yeah, let's say two and a half sessions. Okay. If we hadn't had, say, a little slight continuation, say, for looking at Friday's trade and today's trade, Friday at the close, I was thinking about how I was going to address this question. As of Friday, I was probably saying, because it looked like it had clearly broken out and acquired and already gotten going in the upward move, I would have interpreted that to be bearish. But over the weekend, looking at Friday's trade combined with what we've seen so far today in the market, it looks like another, on the heels of a slight breakout, another period of restricted sideways motion. And as such, more immediately, it suggests further continuation. And that's everything I've just said, obviously, is from the chart. I haven't even factored in or looking to see or conjecture how does that reconcile or not with what's going on fundamentally.
Right.
That would be the next step. But just purely from the charts, and I always, my procedure of analysis is always to start from the charts and then look and see and, take a view of the news if I feel so. I think I utilize that. I say that and teach that to people. What I do primarily for my own analysis, I have such confidence in my chart work and combined with the timing that I most of the time go with that. 80% of the time I'm going with that. Now, if I'm aware of what's going on fundamentally and it happens to agree, all the better. But primarily, I'm going from the charts.
No. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and it's important for people to understand where everybody's coming from when they're measuring things. I mean, your explanation is a good one, and you were looking at a consolidation over the last few days. Yes, someone else, are we in an uptrend, downtrend, or sideways? Someone might say, well, we're an uptrend. We've been moving up since the end of December, and we haven't gone below the 10-day moving average in over a month. And someone else will say, what are you, ridiculous. We've been below the 200-day moving average for months. We're obviously in a downtrend, right? So you can...
And Rob, that's a critical point. I think about it all the time. And even if I didn't, I would be compelled to, because a lot of the traders that I consult and teach and work with, that question comes up perennially. So here's the generic answer or response that I have, but it's an appropriate and valid one, I think. The conclusions you reach are time dependent. In other words, if I'm looking at the last 3 hours, whatever parameters and relationships I observe for that window of time, they are more or less on average relevant to that similar period in time projected out into the future. If I'm looking at the last 3 days, if I'm looking at the last 3 weeks, months, quarters, etc. So that's how I differentiate and evaluate whatever I derive. I can only assume it has a validity and relevancy for a period similar to, if not perfectly equivalent to, the window of time I use to generate said market derived outcome. So I'm not going to apply, if I'm day trading on a 5-minute or a tick chart and I see certain set of relations that indicate something and I assume it has a relevancy for a period or window of time similar to the 5-minute period of time that I looked at. Yeah, obviously.
Yep. Okay, good. Thank you, Glenn.
Sure.
Simon, how about you? How confident are you? It sounded like you weren't overly bearish. Overly bullish. You weren't overly bullish.
No, I mean, yeah.
But you had some things leaning in that direction. Do you want to
elaborate
more?
Same as I usually do. Top-down approach. Well, let's go from the monthly chart and let's see what's happening. So I'm going to make it bigger so you can see everything here. So here went an uptrend, and then we had these surge down here. We stopped in this demand zone, and now we're pushing back up, and we're into supply here. This is supply.
Hey, Simon, are we looking at a weekly here?
This is a monthly chart.
Monthly, okay.
Monthly, weekly, daily, okay? So we're in supply here, okay? This is where the trend broke. The trend broke here, and now we're coming back to where we kind of broke. So this is
This is the S&P monthly.
This is the E-mini.
Just so people know. Okay.
S&P 500 futures. Okay. Yeah? So monthly chart. So we're back up into supply. So this is why I always look at the chart and in two modes. It's either decision making or there's opportunity. Now it's kind of decision making time. That's why I said it could go this way, it could go that way. And I look for clues in the price action to see which direction it's likely to go. I wait for it to tell me. The market will tell you. Yeah. So now we're at a critical point. Yeah. From down here to up here. That's likely to happen, yeah? And it did. The question is, are we going to continue going through this area or are we going to turn to the downside here? Okay. Can everyone see the screen still? I think your mic's still on. Okay. So let's move down now to the weekly chart. Just make it big so you can see it. Can you see it, everyone?
Yes.
Okay. So this is very, very interesting. I've been studying bases for a long time. This is a base, okay? Here's the breakdown of the base into demand and then the snap back. What generally happens if we're going to go lower, we should turn here. We've gone back into this base and we're kind of in the middle of it. If you look at this base, up and down, which way are we going? And now we're back in. Here's an attempt to go down and a failure. So it means we're going up. If you look at the candlestick, this is a move down, but since we're back into this base area, it's starting to look bullish. The odds here, based on my work with bases, is we're going to pop up the top. Okay, that doesn't happen all the time, happens a lot of the time. Yeah, we're back into that base area from below. We snapped back in. Okay, this is area of balance. Yeah, and the momentum's clearly to the upside at the moment. Now, if we go and look at the daily chart, this is where it gets interesting. So here we're uptrending. Here we go into sideways motion. And here we break above this sideways consolidation and hit supply, which is why we're kind of slowing down here. Now, we're moving sideways here. So the odds are greater on the continuation to the upside, but it doesn't mean that we can't start moving to the downside. So you can see we're holding here. And you can see that on the smaller time frame, look on the 4-hour or on the hourly chart. We've just been going sideways for the past few days, yeah? Past 2 days, Friday, today, sideways. Sideways consolidation. Now, that's why I'm saying I'm kind of neutral. We're in an area where we could pull back, but we're also in an area based on this time frame where we can continue higher. I need to see what happens. So above this area, if we hold above this area, we're probably going to continue going higher. So this is like playing the space. Which way is it going to break and when? Now we're at the top, so the odds are based on this base at the moment, we're probably going to drop down again. Yeah, maybe. But as soon as we break above, we'll probably continue up to the next level. And then we get closer to the top of the base, and more likely as we get closer there, we're likely going to break it. Okay, I've noticed many, many times when you see a base and it comes down, snaps back into the area, we're gonna go above. Now this is how to explain it. Imagine you're in a room here, yeah, and you want to break out. So you break out to the downside and they throw you back in the room. Which way are you going to try and break out next time? Gonna try and go with the top side. You know what's down there, you're gonna get thrown back in. You want to escape, gotta try the top way now. That's usually what price will try to do. It'll try and break down, fail, which it did. It came straight back, so it's gonna try the top now. That's usually what happens. Not all the time, but this is how I'm looking at the chart, and this is what I've been seeing with bases over the past 14 years, over 14 years. And these are the things that I notice happening. That doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time, but you play the odds. What happens most of the time? This time it may go down. Yeah. But at the moment, the market's very bullish. It's been bullish since it hit this area and bounced back, and all pullbacks buyable for the time being. So we could go down this week, potentially. So long as we hold this area, we may push up again. We break this and we start to look bearish again. If we go down below this area, below the 2,600, then this could be starting to turn over. So if you look at it from the monthly perspective, we broke the uptrend, and this is a move back to supply, which generally gets sold. We look at it from a weekly perspective, from what I just said about bases, it looks very bullish. We look at the daily perspective, we're up into supply where we're basing, which is kind of bullish. If you're basing in supply, it's once the last settled or sitting up there is gone, and the momentum still, you know, we've still got more winning buyers, then we're going to go higher. So that's basically, we're at this inflection point in here. And this, and again, beyond the scope of this kind of session that we're doing now, to go into the ins and outs of how to figure out which way the space is going to break and when. That's kind of what I've been working on for many years now.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Thank you, Simon. So we got a couple of bullish views here. I guess I'll give my my bearish view for the week. And let me screen share. So this is from last night's or yesterday morning subscriber letter that I sent out for the weekend. And I was looking at 3-day rallies. Right? We had a rally Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in the S&P. And over the years, I've found a couple of things with regards to 3-day rallies. One, they're generally more likely to be sold if you're in a downtrend, a long-term downtrend. So I use the 200-day moving average as just a filter there. It's not a perfect number. It's not a, you know, but generally, I'll use that as a trend identifier when I'm looking for a long-term trend to play with. I also have found over the years that the first move up off of a long-term low or an intermediate-term low, when things get overbought, if they're coming off of, say, a 50-day low or even a 20-day low or a 100-day low, they're more likely to become more overbought. So it's, you got that initial short-covering rally, and then that can continue higher. So trying to short that is often a bad idea. So a couple studies this week that popped up that I've done in the past looked at things like low range and the fact that Friday was a small up day as compared to the other 2 days. And what I found is this one looks back to 1993 and it looks at, all right, we're up 3 days in a row. Today's the lowest range in the last 5 days and the rally did not start from a 50-day low and we're closing below the 200-day moving average. This is what the market has done over the next 5 days. All right, so 4 days out, it's been higher only 41% of the time. Average trade has been down about 1%. Here's an equity curve that shows how it's
Rob, run over time. You're not sharing your screen. You're not seeing your screen.
Sorry. Can you see it now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is the study as I laid it out. And as you can see, over the next 1 to 5 days, you've generally had a pullback in the market when you've had a setup like we had going into the weekend. All right. And I also always look at profit curves to see how the edge has played out over time. And you know, over the long haul, it's generally been chopping downwards. So this has been a fairly persistent edge. Another way I looked at it was to say, all right, it's basically the same. Here I'm looking at the S&P 500 index rather than the spider. And I said today's the smallest rally, the smallest rise of the last 3 days. Okay. I didn't care about range for this study. I subbed in smallest range of the last 3 days. And again, we've got what appears to be a bearish edge over the next 1 to 5 days. I highlight the 3 day period here where it was the market has only risen 11 out of 36 times and looked at the profit curve for that. And again, we see it's been pretty persistent over time. And lastly, I said, all right, well, what if I combine those two? What if I say, all right, we got a real low range day. It didn't move up much. And again, we're up 3 days under the 200-day moving average and not coming off a 50-day low. So if we combine all of that, there's only been 15 instances, but 2 days later, 14 of them were lower. And by the third day, all of them had been lower. It had closed lower at one point. So this kind of confirms what the other two were saying and shows the combination of them may be even more powerful. Obviously, I don't normally like 15 instances, but this is this is a culmination of a couple different studies here. And here would be the profit curve for that, looking at the 3 day. Another way to look at it that I looked at it this weekend is what if we look at just any 20-day high below the 200-day moving average, right? So we buy on any 20-day high, we sell X days later. If we look out 2 days, we've seen generally a pullback over the next 2 to 3 days. Shorting highs have generally been a good thing, and here's the long-term curve for that. So it's moved up a little bit lately. This would have bought a few days ago, and that's the last uptick there. But again, there's a lot saying, hey, we're overbought, we're kind of overdone, probably time for a pullback based on a few of these things, the low range, the declining momentum, and the fact that we're, you know, at a new high in what could be looked at as a long-term downtrend. So those are some of the things that I'm seeing that are making me think, all right, perhaps time for a pullback the next few days. I'll stop sharing here. Let me just go back to you guys and ask you, is there anything that you're anticipating in the next few days that would have you change your mind or that you would find real confirming? You know, is it Glenn, I'll start with you. Is there some kind of news event you're looking towards saying, hey, this is going to be a big deal, you know, this week that people should be aware of? Or is there a level where you say, hey, we break out above here or down below here, that could be a real good or a real bad thing?
Right. Yeah. Let me, if I can bring in a chart. You guys, I have, as of Thursday of last week, I depend on Metastock, and they are down nationwide. And as of last night, so they were supposed to be up, but I have, if I can bring up another chart that I'm going to use as to graphically embellish my comment, but if I can get it up, hold on one second. I guess from trying to get the chart up. How do I bring in the, hold on. That's not, for some reason I'm not, trying to get the, can you guys still hear me? Hopefully I'm.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I lost the visual. So, here it is. Hold on. Got the screen share. If I can. So let me bring that chart up. Can you guys see the chart I have? I have a daily SPY or no?
Not right now.
You're not sharing your screen.
Hold on. Share.
The menu on the left.
All right.
That comes up.
Yeah.
And then you got to confirm.
Got that. And then I hit confirm. Stop sharing. Screen share. Chart. What about now? You see it?
You turned it on and then turned it right off.
All right. Well, better that I... Well, for the sake of continuity, the answer, Rob, my thought on your question is nothing fundamental would be a differentiator or provide a clue as to a change of view, let's say, this week. I think it's a relatively light news week fundamentally. That said, the chart, we break up or down, allow the trend to be its own best arbiter of what you're going to go based on expected persistency once it does something. And in particular, and what this is what I wanted to graphically indicate, there are too many.
The chart up for you. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. So off, can you see the pointer? If you look at the 26th, the bottom, the lowest price the market's traded since the all-time high in September, from that point, thanks, up to 3 days, well, up to where we are currently trading.
This doesn't include today. This is a...
Okay, that's as of last week.
That's Friday.
So if you go back... to January 18th's top, the previous top, right there. Thanks. That is the upper side of the triangle. That top to the next green candle top provides the upper side of that triangle I was referring to.
Yep.
And then that candle, yeah, right there. Right.
This is the breakout.
That's the breakout day, and that's why and I think that was Thursday of last week, if I recall, or Wednesday, whatever day it was.
Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah. That's why. And if you look overall from that point to where we are, say Friday. It more or less is the net translation of prices higher. And on that basis, coming into my important time point, I was expecting an outright reversal because statistically that's what you see. That said, if I take Friday's trade where you have your vertical crosshairs and combine it with what we've seen in today's session so far, you more or less have a smaller scale, a fractal, if you will, of continued sideways motion. And it more or less, so that suggests to me we're going to break again to the upside. I do agree. I think the market's overbought by a number of indications, oscillators, et cetera. We're getting close to that historical triple top back there where you've got the 200 moving average running through basically the...
Yeah.
And I see that. We're coming proximal. I haven't worked out. I mean, it's... where are we now? At 270 and change in the SPY. For the ES, my initial overhead resistance target that I've projected is 2778, basically. My next... If we break through that, it's going to 2830. Yeah. If we can break through that, 2837 is my next overhead zone of resistance. Now, at the fear of raising another issue, but it is what it is. If you started at the bottom, 26, the lowest price again since the all-time high in the major indices, from that bottom, you can partition the structure. Obviously, the trend is up, but you've got a nice set of potentially five waves vis-a-vis wave analysis. And I know there are a lot of detractors and whatever, people who feel less than that because of there are some obvious flaws in the model, but then there's some strengths as well. So that's what I'm focused on. You can make an argument extent that there are, you can partition the structure of price move from that bottom through where we are at the moment into five distinct waves that more or less are in adherence to some of the protocols of embedded in that model. Based on some numerical calculations, that would suggest that the initial triangle starting on January 18 corresponds to the end of wave three, the point of where it ended, the apex of the triangle, one, two, three, about six sessions later, is the end of the fourth wave. Everything from, say, last Tuesday, about a week ago, through right now, I surmise could likely, it fits the description of what could be a fifth wave. So what do we know about fifth waves? They tend conservatively to trace out or extend out about 61.8% of the distance the market moved from the start of the first to the end of the third. So if you measure that and you take 62% of it and project that to off of that the end of the triangle, which was last, I guess, Wednesday or Tuesday's bottom, that's how you can project a target price. The fact right there, off of that, take the answer to that little arithmetic calculation, displace it from there, and that will give you a hypothetical target price. And then you can adjust it given other factors. And that would bring you right up in, that's going to run you right into where that your moving average line is, approximately. Everything I just said says nothing about how long it would take, how quick, what the runtime is. It just does give you a target price.
Well, as you're talking here, the market just broke above Friday's high. So everybody's listening to you and Simon right now, I think, and buying the market.
Yeah.
You're pushing it up.
Well, there's that self-fulfilling. and that's a fact. That's a real where you got to. That's why I try as hard as I can to block out the news, because I found, just as a note that I think is tangentially related to the process of being successful as a trader, not the analysis, are the emotions. And I personally try and teach people and work with people to, as best as possible, albeit I'm not suggesting it's an easy feat to manage, but try and, if you're going to start with the charts and get your cues from that, try and focus on that. The problem, the downside or the limitation of a chart methodology and of analysis is it does not necessarily, and for the most part, it doesn't fill you in on the explicit linkage of events that are going to generate the projection that it generates. It doesn't tell you, oh, because of X, Y, and Z, this will fall into place and this will happen. It just says, it points to you in the most plausible probability scenarios. Oh, based on this relationship I see in the charts and this set of relations, this is what is most probably going to occur. The benefit of the fundamental approach is when you are aware of relevant news, it explicitly, you can then interpret and say, oh, that makes sense or it doesn't make sense. That gives you a model or measure, at least, of comfort. You understand it. I would rather be right and not completely aware and explicit of all the explicit details than wrong, but be comfortable about being wrong. The best of all cases, I think, is when you have an alignment between what the chart is telling you and what you're getting, you know, if the news events, as best you can interpret them, are fitting and getting into convergence with what the chart has already basically told you. But again, Dan, coming my short-winded answer to your question is, what would alert me to a significant move this week is a break, allow the trend to be, you know, the best arbiter of that. Because the last couple of weeks, we had more important fundamental news, especially the stuff in the U.S. with the monetary policy, FOMC meeting last week, where everyone knew they wouldn't do anything. So that sent a message to the capital market sector. This week, not so much, you know, we got a couple of reports, I think. I think it's Friday, the Jerome Powell speaks. So I don't know. And then you've got we had the employment, unemployment stuff last week. So as far as fundamentals, not so much this week. It's a relatively slower news week. But clearly from the chart, a breakout one way or the other would be the definitive factor I'd look to provide a moment by moment real time cue.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Glenn. Simon, let me go to you. Anything else you want to add as far as things that might be important for people to keep in mind this week? Oh, and let me stop my screen sharing.
Okay. I'm purely a chart trader, price action trader. I base everything on what I see happening. I mean, that's based on my background. We used to get into the office before the market opened, before the equity market opened, 9:30. We used to be in the office a few hours before, you know, when I was trading equities on the trading floor. And we used to analyze all the news and everything else like that. And I found it never really gave me an edge understanding. We even had a service that gave us the news before everyone else. We used to pay for a service that used to give us, you know, like literally a minute before it hit everyone else. else, you know, the general public. And again, it didn't really help trading like that. It was that kind of not really the way you want to do it. What I found that sometimes you have good news and the stock goes up, and sometimes you have good news and the stock goes down, and likewise, bad news, it goes up, bad news goes down. I didn't find any correlation between the news, and sometimes it's, you know, if you look at what's happening in the chart and you have, you know, bad news coming out in the stock and it keeps going up, well, what do you do? Some people sell, but the price action is telling you it's going higher. The market's ignoring the news, and that may make it even more bullish. So how do you think about that? So what I decided to do is throw all the news out of the way, you know, get rid of it. I'm aware of what's going on. I'm aware of economic events are going on today, but nothing's going to affect my decision-making besides what I see happening on the charts, because that's where money's going. The charts show you the footprint of money. They show you what's happening right now. And the reason why, or you can ask the why question afterwards. We always used to, you know, I was trained that why.
All right, Simon, I don't mean to cut you short, but we are running low on time.
So that's it. Yeah. Why is a dangerous question to ask when you're trading? You want to trade what, not why, yeah? Back to you, Rob.
That's all right. I need to get to the other questions, and we're getting low here. So I'll come right back to you here, Simon, with the question of the week. And then after that, we're going to just kind of go through and if any of you guys got trade ideas for the week, and last things to say. But for now, let's just do the question of the week, which is question number four. What type of trading do you specialize in or focus on, and how did you come to that decision? I think you've talked a little bit about that already, Simon. Yeah, but yeah. If you want to expand on, you know, what brought you to your decision of being such a having such a focus on charts, that'd be interesting to people, I think.
Yeah. So I'm primarily a chart based trader, price action trader, no indicators. You might see there's one indicator on my chart, CCI, but I don't need indicators to trade. I got rid of indicators a long time ago. And the reason I came to this is because at the end of the day, yeah. Have to ask yourself a question: what moves price in any market? So I wanted to come up with a system that would work now and work forevermore, and I didn't need to change anything. It would work in any market, any time frame, forever. Because learning a way of trading, and then, you know, which is what I did, the specialist way of trading, where we used to identify, read the tape, like the old school way, without even charts. We used to look at the prints on the time and sales and read what was going on in the open book, level two. Yeah, that failed to work. And again, there's all tricks that people use in that they flash orders, you know, on the buy side, and they're really a hidden seller, and all these little tricks that you learn, you know, when you can kind of identify what's going on. You know, sometimes you'll see a big order go off on the offer side, and that's really a hidden buyer, because they want to keep the price down. So people see that and they start selling, and then that offer gets lifted and the price runs up. So those sorts of tricks that people play, you know, that's what happened when I was trading on the stocks. Yeah. Again, if you're looking at the charts, what you're looking at is exactly what's happening. You're keeping your finger, as I always say to everyone, you're keeping your finger on the pulse of the market as it's happening. And all you need to know is that price moves in the market between levels of supply and demand, mostly in trends. If you can identify ahead of time where those levels of supply and demand are, you know where price is likely to turn. So again, it's a bit more complicated than that. But basically, if you can, our expertise is becoming expert chart readers. So we understand, much like a dermatologist, when they look at your skin or anyone's skin, they're expert. They know what they're looking at. They can say, this is good, this is not good. And you look at it, you've got no idea what you're looking at. So our level of expertise at chart reading is to the point that we can read the chart better than anyone else. That's our sensitivity in the market, keeping our finger on the pulse of the market to understand exactly what's happening at every point in time and what the probabilities are. After you've got that, then it's about applying a strategy in order to take advantage of the odds and manage risk. That's really the second stage. But the first stage is learn to read the market, understand what you're looking at. And once you know what you're looking at and understand and can read it with confidence, then you can start trading with confidence. So that's how I got from kind of, and I also went through trading with many different indicators on the chart until, you know, I didn't know one. These indicators said buy, these indicators said, and it's removed from price. So if you want to get rid of all the indicators, get rid of the smoke screens and just understand how to read price, then you'll be way ahead of many people in the market.
Okay. Thank you, Simon. Glenn, how about you? How did you determine, you know, what type of trading do you specialize in, and how did you come to that decision, I guess, is the question.
Sure. Right. On the heels of what Simon said, I pretty much agree with everything he said. I just want to, as a continuation, clearly levels of supply and demand are critical. Supply and demand is from an economic standpoint, from a Chartist view, support and resistance, respectively. What I have, and so I'm a technician, and I wholeheartedly buy into the theoretical foundation of the technical approach. Price is king. It discounts all information, that which is known, that which is not known, by the fundamental trader, the technical, the quantitative, etc. What I have done is, and so trend is my number one starting point, and implicit in that are the levels of supply and demand, resistance and support that Simon just alluded to. What I've found, ironically, even though I refer to, and I'm a technician going solely from price, and I pretty much I agree with the premise of block out everything to the extent you learn how to consistently and accurately interpret the chart, you improve your odds for locating value areas in a system, a financial system, which is basically a construct of energy. What I found, so as to give me that much more edge, I think that the levels of supply and demand that we all think about and look to locate consistently are in turn a function of certain specific time period completions. In other words, so that really is a fundamental concept. Again, I'm a technician, but if I go dig down into the engine of the system I'm studying, ironically, I find that in order to more accurately and consistently locate those specified critical turning points where a market is more probably gonna, it's reached a point in its runtime where it's more susceptible to some type of change, I think that will correspond to the completion of certain time periods. And being able to locate those time periods in turn indicate where a market on a more topical level will locate or run into a specified level of supply and demand. So very few as a percentage of traders do that. Most traders are focused on price. I do all of the things attached to price analysis, you name it, A to Z. Having 38 years in the business, you can't not be aware of all of those things. But from the cause and effect standpoint, I think those things are relevant when they are as a consequence of the market running its course in a certain directional mode, let's say, or regime. Having done that, it's more susceptible to a type of change. We, on the superficial level, refer to it as, oh, it's run into resistance or a peak or an excess level of supply, or vice versa, it's run into a bottom of excess demand. But the reason for it, as I interpret it and based on everything I've understood, is it has run its regime course. It's run its runtime, and therefore is more, when a particular regime has run out of steam, it's more likely an alternate regime will usurp and take its place. So again, for me, my hierarchy of analytical modus operandi would be the trend, but a close second would be time. And then lastly, something like wave constructs to make my decisions, if that helps.
Okay, great. All right, just want to make sure I wasn't muted. I'll answer the question for myself too. As I think I mentioned, I do a lot of my decision making based on quantitative analysis. I've designed a bunch of systems that I trade as well. I like that because I know the odds. I know I got a 65-70% chance of being right on a certain trade, and I'll take the trade and it'll generally work out 65-70% of the time. Swing trading fits my personality, fits my lifestyle. I trade off the daily charts. I don't have to look at 5-minute charts and worry about being in front of the market all day. I have other things that I'm interested in rather than trading all day. I do a lot of my research during the day, so I'll keep an eye on the market, but I don't necessarily have to be in front of it all the time. And I don't like worrying about whether I should be entering or exiting intraday. So that's kind of why I keep a swing time frame for myself. I'll give you one last word for each of you. Simon, anything you want to tell us about TradeSmart 4X as far as, you know, do you have any specials going on or can people take a free trial or anything like that? And if you had a trade idea for the week, that'd be great as well.
Okay, so it's great being on the show again. Thanks, Rob and David. So you can go to my website, tradesmartforex.com. And if you put your name and email address in here, you can get a 15-minute video roundabout, which will teach you about how to go about building a profitable trading strategy. Also, on Wednesday this week, I'm going to be doing a webinar, live market analysis using supply and demand. You can go here, click here and sign up for that webinar. That's what's happening this week. And I've also got another webinar I'm doing on Saturday with, and again, if you get on my mailing list, I'll send you an email about that and you can come to that one as well. That's going to be an interesting webinar about how to become a profitable trader with any size account. Again, people think you need a big size account. You don't. I'd rather start small, prove that you can trade, make money consistently, and then you can start scaling up size size-wise. That's usually the best thing. I don't really have any trading ideas at the moment. One thing that we've been long on is gold since down here. And again, we're looking for this potentially this year, may or may not. If it breaks above this level, we're looking for gold to move up to the 1600 area. Again, entry was around down here and it's already nicely profitable. And we're looking for it to potentially break this and go up here. At the moment, intraday, we're moving at a bit of a move down. We're looking for this move to be picked up and continue moving to the upside potentially. That's it. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Simon. Glenn, how about you? Anything you want to tell us about Pacific Trading Academy? Any specials you might have going on there? Or how can people get in touch with you? So forth.
Sure. Yeah. Appreciate it, Rob. I don't know that we have any specials at the moment. The best way for people to find out about whatever programs might be occurring, and we do have specials from time to time. I just don't know at the moment, but just check out the website, PacificTradingAcademy.com. You have the toll-free number listed there, but again, PacificTradingAcademy.com. At the moment, two specific trades, if you'd like to hear, just in a generic sense, there are many different strategies depending on the particulars that differentiate one person's account. But I'm going to short probably the NZD USD Forex pair based on a number of factors, a Fibonacci pattern in alignment with other factors, but that's primarily it. It's probably a 2 or 3 day swing day trade. And contingent in a completely different sector, precious metals, you can play it on an ETF, but I do the derivatives and platinum, interestingly. Primarily what I'm looking at there, 60-year cycle, that the 60-year cycle operating and informing that market last bottomed December of 1958, and we have a formation corresponding December now of 2018. I expect that's a global macroscopic scenario on a breakout above January 7th's high in the platinum market. When I rarely trade in platinum, obviously there's some issues in terms of liquidity relative to gold and silver, the other hard asset and precious metals. But given the 60-year cycle that bottomed literally December 2018, I found that compelling evidence from a cyclical time standpoint on the follow-through of certain price action, in particular, if we break through that acid test high of January 7, I'll establish long positions in platinum. We're trading right now at around 822 per ounce. My conservative target, assuming we break through that top January 7, 875 area. So to give you that, but that's a condition on a breakout above. I got to see requisite price action. If we break through the January 7 high in platinum, I'm going to go long. Right now, again, I like the short in New Zealand dollar. If you're on the security side, you can do an ETF or some similar or an option strategy. If you're on Forex cash pairs, then NZD, short NZD USD. It's a pleasure. And I teach all manner of technical analysis, beginners, experts, and that's primarily the approach I use. So thanks again, guys. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Glenn. Awesome getting to talk to you. I'll start screen sharing.
I like your hat. Yeah.
I got my Patriot shirt.
Right. I saw that.
Even if I lose this week, we had a good day yesterday.
Right.
My daughter's basketball team won too. So we went 3 for 3.
I was pulling for the Saints. That's why, what happened. So.
Oh, I think the Saints fans were the only non-Patriots fans rooting for the Patriots. The Saints,
right. Exactly.
The Saints got hosed.
Yeah, I know. That's, yeah.
Yeah. So this is the Quantifiable Edge's website. If you want to take a free trial, just go under membership, 1 week free trial. Pretty easy. If you want to check out the blog, I write on there generally a couple times a week, some interesting articles. Or if you don't have a big enough attention span to check out the blog, you can find me on Twitter at QuantEdges. All right. So feel free to contact me there. You can tweet at me. You can email me, support@quantifiableedges.com. Thanks all for listening. Thanks to my guests and thanks to David.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Trade ideas. I'm sorry, David. Okay. I'm leaning to the short side right now. And a couple areas that I think are especially overdone are real estate. You could play that with IYR, Hong Kong, EWH, and small caps, VB are three things that I might be looking to get short as early as tomorrow if they don't pull back too hard today. So, and right now it looks like they're just going higher. So I'll be looking to get into them probably short tomorrow if that continues. All right. That's it for me. Sorry.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks. Thanks, Rob. Just a quick reminder to everyone watching or listening, you can be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past reports or show archives there. Be sure to join us tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live for the live broadcast for the next episode of Analyze Your Trade. Christian Fromhertz and is going to be on that one, and Dean Jenkins will be back as moderator. So be sure to join us for that. And I just want to thank my guests again for this week. Glenn Thompson of PacificTradingAcademy.com, Simon Klein of TrademarkForex.com, and Rob Hanna of QuantifiableEdges.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.